Hey, good morning. Today's daf is about Metzia daf Pei Dalet. We left off Pei Gimel Amud Beis. As mentioned yesterday, we left off five lines from the bottom. Pei Gimel Amud Beis. As mentioned yesterday, we embarked on a series of Agadatas in the beginning of Hasochar Sapolim, in the beginning of the seventh Perek. And we started the Agadata yesterday with the story of Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon, who was giving advice to a certain person who was pressed into service of the king, how he could ascertain who's a Ganav and who's not a Ganav. And about the time that somebody insulted Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon, and so Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon gave him over to the Malchus, and he was hanged, and then he started feeling bad. Turns out that that guy was actually Bol and Ara Marasa with his son on Yom Kippur, so it was Chayiv Skila, and people after their Niskal are also hanged, and so it was actually poetic justice that the guy was hanged. And then he took some solace in that and said, oh, well, if my Sveikas even come out like this, so too my Vado should certainly be, I'm certainly resting assured that I am not locking up anybody inappropriately. And he said, my intestines rejoice because you should be assured that there is no rima vitalea, there's no, there are no maggots that are going to have any impact over the intestines. So we're going to start today with a maisa that shows how quite literally he actually tested that out to ensure that there would be no maggots who would be able to prevail over him. The Gemara is then going to segue to some stories about some extremely portly Amoraim, some very, very fat Amoraim, and some other facts about them. The Gemara then is going to jump to the from the fatness of the Amoraim to the beauty of Rav Yochanan, and then talk about the Maisa with Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan converted Reish Lakish and made a shidduch between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan's sister. And then the Gemara is going to go back to the story of Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon and about the Yisurin that he accepted upon himself and some stories about after Rav Elazar b'Reb Shimon died. So a lot of interesting stories on today's daf. It is all Agadata. So hopefully it'll be an easy read, but there is a lot to get through. So again, we left off five lines from the bottom on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. So Ashkiu, and where we left off again, was where Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Shimon said, oh, my Sisu b'nei Me'ai, Sisu, u'masfeika shalachem kach, vado shalachem alachas kama v'kama. Madachai was mesupak about this guy, whether he was a bad guy, the guy who he had hanged, but it turned out that he really was a bad guy because he was a bol and amar marosa on Yom Kippur, and therefore he deserved skila, he deserved death. So vado shalachem alachas kama v'kama, mufta I am muftach that no rima v'taleh is going to be sholet on you, my intestines. Nonetheless, even after he said this, he still didn't have a full yishev adas. Now, what did he do? Ashkiu samadishin. So he took an anesthetic tonic. Vailua lebesa deshisha. He went into a marble house, which was cold. Bekaru lekrese, and they made an incision in his stomach. Hobamafkimine dukuli de tarva. They took from his body baskets and baskets of fat. So, umosve beshamsha betamuz va'av, v'lo misrachi, and they put it out in the sun in the hottest days of the year, in the days of Tammuz and the days of Av, and nothing bad happened to the fat, and it didn't spoil. So says the Gemara, and that's how he knew, basically, that no rima v'taleah, that no maggot would have dominion over his fat, over his intestines. But frek the Gemara, kol tavra nami lo sriach. But no fat would be masriach, no fat would spoil. So what's it, a raya that took his fat out in the days of Tammuz and in the days of Av, and it didn't spoil? Nobody's fat would spoil. So says the Gemara, kol tarva lo sriach, suraiki sumki masriach. Yes, you're right, that the actual fat itself wouldn't spoil, but the membranes around the fat would spoil. Hacha afal gavdika suraiki simki lo masriach. And over here, even though there were membranes in the fat, even those membranes didn't spoil. Kari anafshe af besari yishko navetach. Therefore, he called on himself that even my flesh will rest in peace, will rest assured, and he therefore knew that he didn't do anything wrong. We'll see on Pei Dalet Amud Beis that even after this, or maybe the story on Pei Dalet Amud Beis was before this, he was still anxious that he had done something wrong by serving as an agent to the government and by locking everybody up. So Afrav Rishpol v'Rav Yossi Mota Kihai Maisel Yadei, and the same thing happened to Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yossi, where he was pressed into service of the king in order to find out who was a ganav and then to lock up the ganavim, to give over the ganavim to the king. So pagabo Leo, so Leo came to visit him. Leo and Avi came to visit Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and Amar Lei Amasai Ata Moser Amosha Lelakenu LaAriga. Until when are you going to give over the Bnei Yisrael to Ariga, to killing? So Amar Lei My Avid Hartman of the Malkus. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, what do you want me to do? It's a decree of the king. So Amar Lei Avuch Arak LaAsya. At Arak Lelutka, your father fled all the way to Astia. You should flee all the way to Lutki to make sure that you aren't pressed into the service, that you don't have to comply. So Kiavi Mikle, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Ba'adi Adadi. When Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon would meet one another, would stand face to face, Havi Ayel Bikra Deturi Benayu. A pair of cattle could pass underneath their stomachs, and the pair of cattle wouldn't even touch their stomachs. And it was because these Amoraim were so huge that the pair of cattle could literally pass underneath them. So Amrulu Ahumatronisa Benecha Mena Shalachem. So a certain Roman noblewoman said to these Amoraim, your children are definitely not yours. Why? Rashi explains, because it's impossible that you would be able to have Tashmish because you guys are so fat that it's not possible that you could have relations with your wives. So they responded with a perplexing comment. The Amrula, they responded to her with a perplexing comment. Shalahem gadol mishalanu. Theirs are larger than ours. What does it mean theirs are larger than ours? Rashi says two things. Either their stomachs are larger than our stomachs. Ha, you think we're fat, you should see our wives. Not generally the way one wants to be talking about his wife. Okay, Rashi's second explanation is their Yetzahara for Tashmish is bigger than our Yetzahara for Tashmish. So, says the Gemara, then certainly the noblewoman said, well, then that's certainly the case. If I thought that you can never have Tashmish with your wives because you guys are so massive, then certainly if you're so massive and your wife is so massive, I don't know how you ever get together to have Tashmish. Or what she was saying was, if you're telling me that their desire for Tashmish is so great and you look like this and you're so fat like this, for sure she's satisfying herself with other men. So for sure your kids are not yours. So says the Gemara, so ikadamri hachi amrala. Some say they responded in this fashion, and they said, ki ha'ish gvuraso, that as large as the man is, so as his might. And Rashi explains what they're saying is that the larger you are, the bigger the Efer Tashmish is, and therefore, even though we're so massive and we're so fat, we were able to have Tashmish. Ikadamri hachi amrala avadochek eses habasar. Or what they were saying was, love makes the flesh melt away. In other words, if you're really in love with somebody, you don't pay attention to how fat they are, and you find a way, even though the person is so fat. So says the Gemara, what a weird conversation. What were they doing responding to this noblewoman? This noblewoman was making lewd comments and disparaging comments on account of the fact that these Amoraim were fat. Why were they engaging this woman in debate? Doesn't it say in the Pasuk that if a fool says something to you, don't answer the fool? Says the Gemara over here is different. Then they were doing this because, what did the woman say? The woman said that Panechem Eina Shalachem. So the reason that they engage in this discourse was only so that they shouldn't be motzi laz on their children, and they should bring a siyua, they should bring a proof that it's possible, then not possible, that it was in fact the truth, that their children were theirs. And that's why special situation dictated that they respond to the claims of this noblewoman. So Amar Rav Yochanan, so says Rav Yochanan like this, Evored Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yosei Kechamas Bas Tesha Kavin. The Eiver, different interpretations, Rashi says it means the Eiver Tashmish of Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi. Ritzos Rabbeinu Peretz says Evare means like from the Lashon of Sudas Havra, that this is talking about how much food they ate. But Pashup Shat, like Rashi says, the Eiver Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi was Kechamas Bas Tesha Kavin, like a canteen that held 9 kav, which was ridiculously large. So Amar Rapapa, Evarid Rav Yochanan, Kechamas Bas Chamisha Kavin, Ramila Bashlosha Kavin, some say it was like 5 Kavin big, some say it was 3 Kavin big, the Rapapa Gufeki Dekure Dar Pinoy. And Rapapa's Evar himself, who was reporting all this, was like a basket of harpinoi, like a harpinian, like a harpinian, like a harpinian basket. So you know, none of these Amaron were able to wear Hugo Boss jeans. They were all extremely, extremely, extremely large. But this can't be the real pshat. And Tosfos over here tries to kvetch out a pshat. He says, "Elu dvarim nichtavu shelola hotzi laz al bnei adam shem kach." That the only reason why we're saying this is not to be motzi laz. If you ever see somebody who's so fat, like you imagine the Amaron were so fat, that you shouldn't think that it's impossible that the kids are their own, because we see, no, it is possible, because if you see somebody who's fat, even these Amaron had an aver that was so big, and therefore they were able to have tashmish. However, others explain that it's not possible that the Gemara was talking in such terms about the Amaron. It was talking allegorically. And what does it mean? That when back in the Gemara, a couple of lines, when we said, ki cheish king v'raso, it doesn't really mean, it's not talking about physical characteristics. It's talking about spiritual characteristics. That as great as a person is, that's how big his Yetzer Hara is. And so what we're talking about is the Hilag Amaron, that they were so great, not that their physical traits were that they were so big, that they had a Yetzirah for Avera that was as big as 9 Kav. They had a massive Yetzirah for Tashmish and for Gilei Aroyos, yet they conquered their Yetzirah. That's what this Gemara is teaching us, that these Amaram had such a massive Yetzirah that they were able to conquer. So regular people, they have a smaller Yetzirah, but it's a Yetzirah nonetheless. There's precedent for conquering the Yetzirah from these Amaram. That's, in my mind, at least a more satisfactory pshat than the one Tosfos tries to read in here. Reading the Gemara literally is very difficult to understand this literally. Difficult to understand any Agadata literally, but difficult in particular to understand this literally. So says the Gemara, says the Gemara Viter, now segueing to the famous story of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Some Rav Yochanan, Ano Ishtarei Mishtapiri Yerushalayim. I am left over from among the most beautiful people of Yerushalayim. Hayman Deboy Mechsei Shufrei de Rav Yochanan. If a person wants to appreciate the beauty of Rav Yochanan, Se Naisi Kasa de Kaspa Mebe Salki, he should bring a silver goblet that's fresh from the smith, fresh from the silversmith, Vinimlaya part sidai de ramai and sumka, and fill it with seeds of a red pomegranate, Vinahadrle klila devar de sumka, and frame the rim of the cup with red roses, lipume, vinosve bain shimsha latula, and put it in between the sun and the shade, hahuzer hure mein shofar de Rav Yochanan. That luster, which will emanate from the shiny silver filled with all sorts of red things, framed with red roses, is going to approximate the luster, is going to approximate the beauty of Rav Yochanan. So, Amy, was Rav Yochanan really so beautiful? Ive Amar Mar, but Mar reports, Shufrei d'Rav Kahana, the beauty of Rav Kahana, mein Shufrei d'Rav Avo, was like the beauty of Rav Avo. Shufrei d'Rav Avo, mein Shufrei d'Yakov Avinu. Shufrei d'Yakov Avinu, mein Shufrei d'Adam Arishon. V'ilu Rav Yochanan lo chashiv, and Rav Yochanan was not listed in this edition of People's 50 Most Beautiful, so how could it be? So says the Gemara, Shani Rav Yochanan da'adras panam lo avila. Yeah, the reason that Rav Yochanan didn't make the list, he was quite a handsome guy, but he didn't have a beard. So imagine if he had a beard, he would have been number one on the list. So I don't really know how to explain that, but okay. So says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan avi ozil v'yosef ashori detfila. Rav Yochanan went and he sat at the gates of the Beis HaTfila, at the mikvah. So Amar ki solkan benos Yisrael mitfilas mitzvah lifku bi, when the benos Yisrael come up from being tovel at tfilas mitzvah, let me be the first person they see. So that they have nice-looking kids like me, who are expert in learning Torah like me. So says the Rabbanan, are you not afraid from Ayin Hara? Summer lu anami zar di Yosef kasina. I come from the children of Yosef to Losholta be'ein Abisha, who the Ayin Hara is not sholeit on. How do we know that the Ayin Hara is not sholeit on? Because it says ben paras Yosef ben paras ali Ayin. Al tikri ali Ayin. Vamar vavo al tikri ali Ayin ela ole Ayin. Don't read it ali Ayin. Rather read it read it Ole Ayin. In other words, that they're exempt from the Yetzer Hara. So Rav Chanina, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Amar Mehalcha, Vayid Gularo Bekarav Aretz. It says Vayid Gularo Bekarav Aretz. Ma Dagim Shebiyam Mayim Mechasinos and Vena Ayin Shalatzes Behem. Avzar Shal Yosef Ena Ayin Shalatzes Behem. Just like the Ayin Hara is not sholeit on fish, so too the Ayin Hara is not sholeit on Zara Shal Yosef. The famous vart over here is that water plays a visual trick on you. Because of the water, there's what's called refraction, meaning that when you look into the water and you see a fish and you think the fish is right in front of you, it's not really right in front of you, it's really someplace else. So too, because we're descendants of Yosef, when people are looking at us, they're not really seeing what they think they're seeing, and therefore the Ayin Hara isn't sholeit on them. The Mefarshim grapple with how come over here The Gemara is only asking on Rav Yochanan why he wasn't afraid of Ayin Hara. Elsewhere in the Gemara, we make a similar comment about Rav Gidol, who used to, actually, when he would be Mesameach Chasim V'Kala, it tells us that he would dance with a Kala on his shoulders, and the Gemara says he would dance with a Kala on his shoulders. That's very inappropriate. Aren't you afraid of the Yetzer Hara? And he says, well, to me, they're like white geese. What does it mean? It means that I have no feelings of Yetzer Hara, I have no feelings of Taiva for any of this. How come they didn't ask Rav Yochanan, aren't you afraid of the Taiva? So they give some various answers. Number one is we know that what's said about Rav Yochanan is that his eyelashes were very, very long, and therefore he was incapable of actually seeing the woman, and that's why he was not afraid of the Yetzer Hara. The others is that Rav Gidol actually had the women on his shoulders. Rav Yochanan was sitting at a distance. He actually couldn't see them. He was sitting there just so that they would see him and they would be inspired, because the Gemara also tells us that your kids are going to have the characteristics of whatever thoughts you're having, or whatever the last thought you had was before you had Tashmish. And therefore, he wanted the women to see such a handsome person and such a learned person so that they have those thoughts. And then when they have Tashmish, they would have children who were handsome and learned like him. But he wasn't sitting so close that he was going to see them and be overcome by the Yetzer Hara. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, second line down in the medium-sized lines. So Yom Echada Avi Kasachi Rav Yochanan B'Yardena. One day Rav Yochanan went for a swim in the Yarden. Chazir Rish Lakesh V'Shavar L'Yarden Avasrei. So Rish Lakesh saw him and jumped into the Yarden after him, because Rish Lakesh thought he was a woman. He was so beautiful, and Rish Lakesh at that point in his life was a bandit, and he wanted to chase the woman. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yochanan said, wow, he saw this display of physical agility that Rish Lakesh bounded into the river. He said, Chelech L'Araisa, you should use your strength in pursuits of Lima Torah, not in pursuits of Listus. So Amar Lei, Shufach L'Nashi. So Rish Lakesh responded, your beauty should be for women. It's wasted on you. You're such a handsome and beautiful person. Your beauty is better deployed to women. So Amar Lei, say, I Hadrach Bach, Yavina L'Achosi de Shufri Minoi. I'll make you a deal, Rish Lakesh. If you repent, if you become a Baal Tshuva, I will make a shidduch between you and my sister, who's even more beautiful than I am. So Kabbalah Leah, so Rish Lakesh accepted this upon himself. So Boy Lemedar La Suye Mane. Then Rish Lakesh had to leave the river to retrieve his clothing, Velomatsi Hadar. And he wasn't able to do so. Why wasn't he able to do so? Rashi explains, because we know that Torah is Mateshes Kocho Shel Adam. Torah weakens a person. Rish Lakesh hadn't even learned any Torah yet, but he accepted upon himself the yoke of Torah. That's why, as soon as he accepted upon himself the yoke of Torah, Rish Lakesh already felt weakened. So anyway, what happened? So Akraya Vasnayas, Rav Yochanan taught him Mikra, Rav Yochanan taught him Gemara, Vashavya Gavra Rabbi, made him into a great man. Yom Echad Havi Maflik VeMidrasha. One day they were arguing in the base medrash. Hasayif Vasakin VaPigyon VaRomach Umakol Yad Umakol Katzer. All these different types of weapons, a sword or a spear or a sickle or a hand scythe, all these things. So Me'emasai Mekablin Tuma. When are they Mekabal Tuma? Meshaz Gemar Malacha. They're Mekabal Tuma from the time of Gemar Malacha. Me'emasai Gemar Malachtan. And when is the Gemar, when is their Gemar Malacha? So Rav Yochanan Amar Mishi Yitzfrein Bekivshan. Rav Yochanan says when they're tempered in the kivshan, in the furnace. Resh Lakish Amar Mishi Yitzachtzachen B'mayim. When they're polished with water. So when they're polished with water, that's when the Gemar Malacha is. So Rish Lakesh Reish Lakish said this because Reish Lakish, again, was a bandit, so Reish Lakish knew the importance of carrying around shiny weapons. One of the attributes of a weapon is that it could do bodily harm, obviously. Another attribute of a weapon is that it should look very imposing. And part of what makes the weapon look imposing is the glint in the metal of the weapon, and that glint is given to it when you polish the weapon underwater. And that's why Reish Lakish had said that the Gmar Malacha for the weapon was when they polish it with water. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yochanan said to him, Lista Belistuse Yada. Ah, the bandit knows all this thing about all this stuff about banditry. Now, what did Rav Yochanan mean by this? So the Mefarshim explained that Rav Yochanan didn't mean this as an insult. Rav Yochanan was saying, we're arguing about what constitutes Gmar Malacha for these various types of weapons. I hold it's one thing, Reish Lakish holds it's a different thing, and really Reish Lakish is right, because Reish Lakish is speaking from personal experience. So he was complimenting Reish Lakish. He was basically saying, you're using your prior experience as a means of proving the halacha. Reish Lakish took this the wrong way. Reish Lakish thought that Rav Yochanan was in order to be ma'ana him, in order to oppress him, was bringing to mind his prior life, and was, in order to torment him, was making a reference to his prior actions. So Amar Lei, Umaya Hanasli. So what are you doing to me? So now Maya Hanasli could also have two interpretations. One interpretation is, why are you being ma'anemi? Why are you subjecting me to Anas Devarim? Why are you tormenting me? The other interpretation is, Maya, honestly, how have you benefited me? Rav Yochanan thought that Reish Lakish meant, why have you benefited me? And he was basically saying, what have you done for me? What's all this that you've taught me? What meaning is it? Of what import is it? What Reish Lakish really meant was, why are you tormenting me by bringing up the fact that I used to be a bandit? So this massive misunderstanding had a very tragic consequence. Excuse me. So Reish Lakish said, Zamaya honestly, Hasam Rebbe Karile, Hacha Rebbe Karile. Over there, when I was a bandit, they used to call me Rebbe because I was the best bandit. And over here, I'm also the best student, so they call me Rebbe as well. So Amarle, Ahanili, I have benefited you, Da'ak Ravincha Tachas Kanfei Yashchina, because I have brought you under the Shechina, because I've made you a Baal Tshuva. After a while, Rav Yochanan felt very bad about this exchange that he had with his brother-in-law. He felt very badly about what he had done to him. And Cholash Reish Lakish took ill. So Asya Achse Kabachi, so Rav Yochanan's sister, who was married to Reish Lakish, came to Rav Yochanan and started crying to him. Amar Lei, Asay Bishvil Bini, you should pray for him to get better on account of my son. What's going to happen? My son's going to be a Yasam. So Amar Lei, Azva Yisomech Ani Echia. He quoted a pasuk saying, "I'll support your son." Asay bishvil almanosai, but you should pray for his recovery, because I'm otherwise going to be an almana. So Amar Lei said to her, "Valmanusach alai tiftechu," that your almana should rely on me. In other words, he's quoting all these pesukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sustain almanas and yisomim, and therefore he wasn't going to pray that Reish Lakish would live. So noch nafshei de Rav Shimon ben Lakish, and because of this illness, Reish Lakish died. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz just explains over here, why was it that Rav Yochanan couldn't pray for Reish Lakish to be healed? I mean, so they had this debate, and as we saw even, they were speaking sort of cryptically, so Reish Lakish didn't even intend, first of all, Rav Yochanan may not have intended his words the way Reish Lakish took them, and Reish Lakish didn't intend his response the way Rav Yochanan took it, so what was this whole fight about? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains that sometimes, when there is a disrespect shown for Talmidei Chachamim and for Torah learning generally, it has the possibility, has the capability of being so disruptive and so destructive to society that you have to stand up and you have to rectify it at no matter what cost. And that's what Rav Yochanan was doing here, that if people saw this type of exchange, and if people assumed that Reish Lakish meant it in a disrespectful way, it could cause a total breakdown of society and a total breakdown for the respect for Talmidei Chachamim and for Torah, and that's why Rav Yochanan couldn't be mevater here. Okay, so anyway, so Reish Lakish died. Rav Yochanan was distraught. So Amri Rabbanan man leza leisfe ledaite. Who could go liasfe ledaite? Who could go try to be miyashiv das for Rav Yochanan? So Nezel Rav Elazar ben Pedas, they said, let's send Rav Elazar ben Pedas the mechadden shmeitza because he's a very sharp guy. So Ozel Yosef kamei. So Rav Elazar ben Pedas went to Rav Yochanan and sat before him. So kol milsa davi amar Rav Yochanan amar le tanoi tanya de meseyelach. Anything that Rav Yochanan said, Rav Elazar ben Pedas would say, oh, there's a brisa like you. So Rav Yochanan says, at kabar lakisha, you're the guy who came as advertised as being like Reish Lakish. Bar Lakisha ki avi amina milsa Reish Lakish. When I would say something, have actually esrim varba kushya. So he would ask me 24 questions. Umar frakina le esrim varba priki, and I would give him 24 answers. Umemela rav chashmaita, and through this discourse, we learned a lot of Torah. Through this discourse, the conversation really benefited, and we were kaveya a lot of halacha. We learned a lot of Torah like this. So va'at amri tanya de meseyelach, and every time I'm saying something, you're simply telling me tanya de meseyelach. There's a brisa like you. Atul yadan de shaper kamina. You think I didn't know that I was saying the right thing? So vikazal v'koramane. He went into a kriya again v'kabachin, and he was crying. V'mer hechad bar lakisha, hechad bar lakisha. Vavikasavach adeshav daitamine. He was literally crying. He made himself crazy until he literally went insane. So by Rachmei Alev and Achnaf Shei, so the Rabbanan requested mercy on him, and he died. So again, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis asked, why didn't the Rabbanan request that he be healed? Why did they have to request that he die? And he said, because Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were literally foils. They were the preeminent Bali Plugta, and one without the other really couldn't live. So even if they managed to heal Rav Yochanan, next time he went to the Beis Medrash and he would be learning with somebody, he would recall Reish Lakish, and he wouldn't be able to function. And that's why they ultimately had to daven that he pass away. Okay, so now says the Gemara, back to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Vafilu hachi, even after the test that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon did with his intestines, or some say it was before the test that he did with his intestines, lo samach Rav Elazar Rav Shimon adaitei. So Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, he didn't have yishev adas, again, because he was afraid that he did the wrong thing when he served as an agent to the king, putting all these people away in jail for being ganavim. So kabbalah yisuri. So therefore, in order to repent, he accepted upon himself yisurin. So beurta at night, havimaychile shisid namti. They would bring him 60 layers of felt and letzafra, and in the morning, nagdimi to say, they would take from under him shisin mashichle dama vekiva. 60 basins worth of blood and pus. In other words, even though he was sleeping on 60 layers, he had so much discharge from his body that it would saturate all of the layers of felt, and then it would fill all of the drainage, would fill 60 basins full of blood and pus. So Lamachar Avdalei Debitu Shisa Mine Lafta, his wife would make him 60 different types of a fig dish, Viachalu Ubari, and then he would eat it and he'd be healed. Vulovishavki Debisu Lamefak Lebe Midrasha, but his wife wouldn't let him go to the base medrash, Kechid Lolitchu Rabbanan, so that the Rabbanan wouldn't chep him, so that they wouldn't bother him. Why would they bother him? Either because Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon gave over some of their relatives to the Malchus as Ganavim, and therefore they were upset, or because she was afraid that the Rabbanan would take offense to the fact that he was being a Moser, not that he was giving over their relatives, but just would take offense to the fact that he was being a Moser, and they would assail him, they would insult him, and then it would adversely impact his health, it would make his sickness even worse. Now, Be'urta, Amarlu, Achye Vareyai, Bo, at night he would say to the Yisurin, my brothers, my friends, come on to me. And Betzafra Amarlu, and in the morning he would say to them, Zilu, guys, get out of here, Mimnei Bittel Torah, because now you're causing me Bittel Torah. So they would leave every day so that he would learn Torah all day alone, and then he would invite them back at night. So Yomachad Shomad Bissu, one day his wife heard this, so Amarle, Atka Maisis Le'ela Ilavech, you're bringing these Yisurin on you, Kalisim Amona Shal Beis Abba. You are exhausting all of the money of my father's house. Why? Because every single night I'm bringing you 60 layers of felt, and every day I'm feeding you 60 types of fig dish. It's very expensive living habits. So Imrdei, so she rebelled. Asla Lebe Nasha, She went back to her father's house. Sliku va'asu hanach shisin safonai. So the 60 sailors came. Ailule shisin avdi. And they brought with them 60 servants. Kinikiti shisin arniki. They were carrying 60 treasure chests. Va'avdule shisin mini lafta. And they made Rav Elazar Rav Shimon 60 types of this fig dish. Fiachalu, and he ate it. So in other words, after his wife left, she was complaining that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon was exhausting her family's wealth. After she rebelled and went back to her father's house, just so happened that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon was visited by 60 sailors with 60 slaves, with 60 treasure chests, and he became a very rich man. So Yom Echad Amri Lelabarto, one day she said to her daughter, Zili Baki Bavuch, go check out your father. My covet, what he's doing today. So Asya, so she went to check on him. So Amr Law, so he said to her, Zili Amri Limech, go say to your mother, Shalonu Godol Mishalahem, that ours is greater than yours. So what does it mean? It means that we're wealthier than you. You were nervous about your father's wealth. See, I was ocha that these sailors came, and now I'm very, very rich. So Kori and Avshei Hoisa Kaniyo Socher Mi Merchak Tavi Lachma. So he applied this pasuk to himself. Ocha V'Shasi Yubari. So he ate and he drank and he became healthy. So Nafak Lebei Midrash. He then went to the Beis Medrash because he no longer lived with his wife. So his wife wasn't able to prevent him from going to the Beis Medrash. So Asya Lekamei Shisa Mine Dama Tarinu. So they brought to him 60 different types of blood that women had brought over to him to ask Nida Shailas on, and he was matar all of these 60 different maras. Ave Kamaranini Rabbanan. So Rabbanan were making fun. V'Amri Salkadaitach Lesbu Chadzfek. Is it possible that in this batch of 60 maros, there's not one shaila that's a suffix here? Really, they're all tar. Semalu im kamosi who you call cham zacharim. That if the halacha is like me, if I'm right, that really they're all tar. Let all of the babies that are going to be born from these women now, who are having tashmish with their husbands after I prove that their maros are tar, let them all be males. Why males? Because males are impossible to become nida. It's impossible for a man to become a nida. Just like all of these maros, none of them were a nida. And if not, then let there be one akeva, just like an akeva will ultimately become a nida, so too it's a proof that one or more of these was actually a nida. It was actually dam nida. So kulchem zacharim. So it turns out that they were all zacharim. Vasikulu Elazar al shmei, and they call all these women called their kids Elazar al shmei. So the Masoras Hashas takes out the word Rebbe Elazar because it wouldn't make sense that they would call their children Rabbi Elazar. He was called Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, obviously, because he was great, but his name was Elazar. Good. So Tanya Amar Rebbe Kama Puri Verivya Bitla Rishazumi Elisrael. How much did this Malchus, how much Puri Verivya did this Malchus deprive from Klal Yisrael? Why? Because the whole time that Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon was so busy trying to hunt out all of the ganavim, he wasn't in the Beis Medrash, so the women couldn't bring their nida shailas to him. Imagine if he was in the Beis Medrash and the women brought their nida shailas to him, how many women he could have saved from observing observing their yemei nida, because really they were tar. So kiavi kanicha nafshe, when he was about to die, Amar lo the Bisu, he said to his wife, Yadana b'drabana d'ratichi alai v'lo meneski b'shapir. I know that the Rabbanan are mad at me, and therefore they're not going to treat me appropriately. So what does it mean, treat me appropriately? So the Ben Yoyada explains that his father, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, was buried in a certain crypt, and he wanted to be buried in the same crypt as Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But the Chachamim thought that Reb Elazar Reb Shimon was a nobody compared to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and therefore they wouldn't bury him together with his father. So therefore he said like this, Ognin be'ilisoi v'lo tedochlin minoi. Lay me to rest in the attic and don't be afraid of me. So the Marsha says, how could it be that, the Marsha asked, how could it be that he was directing his wife to lay him to rest in his attic? There's a mitzvah of kura, there's a mitzvah to bury a mace. So how can it be that he was directing his wife to go against, not fulfill the mitzvah of kura sameis? So the Marsha answers, obviously here he was saying this for his own kavod. So when it's for your own kavod, you're allowed to advise your wife to go, you're allowed to tell somebody to go against the mitzvah of kura. The whole mitzvah of kura is only for kavod ameis. But he thought his kavod would be better served if he was put to rest in his attic. So Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. So Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani says, "Ishtoyle emed Rabbi Yochanan. I met the mother of Rabbi Yochanan. Ishtoyle debitzu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who met the wife of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who told her, 'Vapachus mitamne sreiv lotfei me esrim vitrin shanin ugne be Eliyasa.' She that the body of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon lay in state in the attic for no less than 18 and no more than 22 years. Kavisliknu meinga minga le b'mazaya. Whenever she would go up to the attic, she would check his hair. And kiave mishtamta b'nei minei. Whenever a hair would fall out, asidama the hair follicle, the pore would emit some blood. So we don't understand what this means, obviously. But in some respect, it was showing that Elazar Rav Shimon still had some sort of vitality. He was still bleeding whenever a hair would fall out. Yomachad chazoy richsha. One day she saw a worm, the kanafik meune, that was coming out of his ear. Chalash daite, and she became very distraught because she thought, oh no, now he's starting to decompose. That's why a worm is coming out of his ear. So he appeared to her in a dream. Amarli lomidihu. He said, don't worry, it's nothing. Yomachad shami bizlusa the tzurba mirabana v'lo mechoy. One day I heard some people disparaging Talmidei Chachamim, and I didn't make a machah k'dabayli like I should have. That's why, and therefore I'm being punished by having the worm crawl out of my ear. When two people would come to judgment, they would stand at the gate of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's property. Some are Mar Milse. One would say his piece, the other would say his piece. They would each make their tainas. So Nafa Kolam Eyalise, and a coal would come up from the attic and say, Vamar Ish Ploni Atachayev, Ish Ploni Atazakai. So and so you're Chayev, so and so you're Zakai. So again, the Mefarshim grapple. How is it possible that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was able to paskin the halacha when he's dead? It says, Lobashim. Miami, and so they answer that it doesn't mean that he was actually paskening the halacha. It meant that when they got to his doorstep, when they got to the gates of his property, they were overtaken by some spirit of compromise, and therefore everybody, each one said their own piece, and therefore, and it's as if they heard in their mind, Ish ploni atazakai, Ish ploni atachayev, and therefore they were able to arrive at some compromise. Yom echad havikaminsina debisu bahadei shivavasa. One day, Elazar Rav Shimon's wife was in a machlokas with a neighbor, Samralot, and the neighbor said to her, Te kabala shalonit and lekvura. Oh, you should be just like your husband who was never buried. Samrabana kuli hai vade lava rachara. If news that the fact that he's not buried and is lying in the attic is so widely known, then it's certainly not derech eretz. Tzika damri Rav Shimon Yochai is chazi lebechama. Others say that Rav Shimon Yochai, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon's father, appeared to them in a dream. Amr lehu, pray the achas yesh li b'nechem v'yatem rotzim lavia etzli. I have one fledgling who you are depriving from me. You're not bringing him to me to be buried with me. So also Rabbanan lasukebe, the Rabbanan went to bury him. Lo shavka b'nei achbaria. However, the people, his townspeople, didn't let them come. To chalshoni davinayim, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon bal yasa lo solakaya rola masayu. The whole time that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon was there, a chayirah never came into the city. Yom echad mali yom dekipuri ave. One day it was erev yom kippur ave tridi, and they were busy. Shad rabbanon levnei biri. The rabbanon sent them bnei biri v'yasku la'arise, and they took his coffin v'amti l'marasa de'avua, and they brought it to the cave of his father. Sashkachu elachna. They found a serpent, a hadrulei l'marasa, that was encircling the ma'ara, the burial crypt. Amrula, they said, Achna, Achna, serpent, serpent, pischei pich, open your mouth, v'yachanes ben etzel aviv, let a son enter next to his father, pasachlu, and the serpent then opened its mouth, and let them bury Elazar Rav Shimon there. So we'll stop here, it's a good stopping point, we'll pick up tomorrow with the story of Rebbe, and how Rebbe then tried to marry Elazar Rav Shimon's wife, after Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon was finally buried.